Scripture reading is going to be Matthew 15, 1 through 20. So if you want to follow along, which I would recommend since I am also reading from the original King James Version, not in Latin, but in English. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father and mother, let him die to death. But ye say,
Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of man. And he called the multitudes and said unto them, Hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Now, had I been really traditional, I would have had you stand for the gospel reading. Sorry I messed that one up. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to understand the words that you provide for us. These are your words written down by your servant Matthew. And Lord, they can be confusing to us sometimes, especially in this language. Make it clear to us today what Jesus is saying to us through these words. In his name we pray. Amen.
Shifting over to the NIV, guys. Traditions. Peggy had a great synopsis on traditions. Some of the things we did this morning, and I forgot to ask you to stand for the reading of Scripture. Traditional. Passing of peace, traditions. Prayer of confession. Silent prayer. Anybody know how long you were quiet or we were quiet?
About 3 seconds.
55 seconds. Did it seem like 55 days? We're not good at having silence. But we like to be distracted. So, traditions distract us. Did anybody feel uncomfortable with the passing of peace? It's fine to be uncomfortable. I despise it. It is so not Presbyterian. We should never, ever do it here again. But what my point is on these traditions is that so many times, and I went to a church where passing the peace was every week. How did it enhance the worship? Did anyone feel an enhancement? Did anyone feel an enhancement reading the King James Version versus the NIV or the English Standard Version or any other version? Do the traditions that we do enhance our worship, enhance our praise? That's kind of what I was getting at. And again, standing for the gospel reading. It's out of reverence, yes, but does it lose its meaning at some point? So anyway, traditions. So back to Matthew. Matthew is telling us about this time when Jesus is in Galilee, right? Anybody know, or I'm going to tell you, what went on just before that, in 14. Jesus was kind of busy up in Galilee. A couple of things that he had done. He had fed 5,000 people, 5,000 men, probably more people than that, with a couple loaves and a few fish. He had walked on water, had Peter come out on the boat, walk with me, Peter. And he did for a short while. He also did incredible healings. An entire city, Gennesaret, had complete healing, physical healing, with Jesus there. So the first thing we read here in verse 1, then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem. So these guys trekked from Jerusalem up to Galilee. That's not a small trek. All right, a couple days walk. Nature trips have been to Israel. It's not next door. You're not walking to the next town. You're walking north to or south to north of the country. It's quite a walk. What the heck are they going there for? I'm guessing maybe they wanted to see these miracles, verify them perhaps, but kind of knowing a little bit about the Pharisees, maybe they were going to go up there and discredit Jesus. First thing they say, after 5,000 plus people have been fed with minimal amount of food, Peter walked on the water, and an entire city has been healed of their ailments. First thing the Pharisees ask, the leaders of the religious community ask, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They didn't wash their hands before they ate bread. This is the first thing they come up with. Tradition. You've broken the tradition of the elders. What's Jesus' answer? Why do you break the traditions of the commandments of God? Why do traditions get in the way? Traditions aren't bad. They really aren't. But these guys were hell-bent on having them always observed to the finest degree. The Pharisees were just nuts. They totally missed the mark. Jesus is there, right in front of them, doing everything, right? They have all the knowledge you can possibly have about the Messiah, and they want to know why they're not washing hands. This is what their focus is. They do not see. They did not see the miracles. They did not want to see the miracles, or they just couldn't see it. So I'm guessing they went up there to discredit Jesus. Now, you know, just a little something for thought. Is there times, or are there times, that we want to discredit Christ? Either in a church, a denomination, worldwide? Do we go to places testing what's being said? Do we go to places testing, are they doing it right versus how we're doing it? Presbyterianism is a lovely denomination because it's very stoic and it's very private. We can have a personal relationship with God and we don't have to share it. We don't have to jump up and down. Like, can you imagine a Pentecostal service here? Can you? I mean, seriously. Have you been to a Pentecostal service? Phenomenal. I mean, you got people praying out loud for hours. Some in tongues, some in different languages. It is confusing chaos. I don't get it. So Presbyterianism works for me. It's quiet. I can be refined and reserved. Because after all, isn't that the right way to worship? Isn't that how we come to praise God? Quietly and introspectively. Just something to throw out there. A little sarcasm, perhaps. Just a minute. Occasionally I do that. They're also questioning Jesus' leadership. And we are called to do that. We're called to question the leadership of our church. Because we need people that are following Christ. But these guys are coming up and saying, can't you even get your guys to follow a simple rule? You're supposed to be a rabbi. We've called you rabbi. People are calling you rabbi. Why can't you get them to follow a simple rule like washing their hands before they eat? And I did look some of this up in the Hebrew traditions and the laws. And there's a lot going on there. But, I mean, traditionally you were supposed to wash your hands before eating meat, but even so, bread. And that's all they were eating was bread. But it's like you needed to do it. You needed to be clean. And as Jesus gets on with us, it's like, that's not causing you to not be clean. What the Pharisees were doing I think, was hiding behind the religion for self-importance. Hiding behind the religion to say, we've got this all figured out. We know the law. You apparently don't because you're not following it. So we're going to tell you how to do stuff. But that brings us back to what Dick read in Isaiah, and I'll do it in the NIV now because it makes more sense to me. Isaiah 29:15 works in here pretty well. It says, "Woe to those who go to great depths to hide their plans from the Lord, who do their work in darkness and think, who sees us? Who's ever going to know?" So what we do in the dark, under the cover of our religiosity, God knows. So again, how do we take our salvation? How do we live our salvation? Not like the Pharisees, I'm hoping. And we're not real good at it. A couple of traditions that we have, communion and baptism. What are we doing those for? What do we come to communion for? What do we come to church for that? We come to be seen? Probably not. We're Presbyterians. We want to crawl in a hole and not be bothered by the rest of the world. We're Presbyterian. But we come, most of us, and I don't mean this as a slam to anybody, because we're all guilty of it. Most of us spend more time getting ready to come to church than preparing our hearts for worship in church. And that was a quote from Charles Spurgeon, 100 years plus ago. We do not necessarily take the time out. No problem, Chris. I know where you're coming from. You told me this morning you were rushed. Jeff, too. We all were. But we need to take time before we come to church, especially. Every day. But we need to take time. I think that's what Jesus is getting at with these guys, or with this passage. Jesus' answer is, you bunch of hypocrites. Don't be hypocrites. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I know I am so many times, but I don't want to be. I want to live for Christ. But he's saying, who's in charge? Are you guys in charge? No, God's in charge. Don't you get it? God is in charge. We're not in charge. It's not our thing. We need to follow Christ's example. We need to be people of Christ. Worship. The definition of worship. I looked this up. Reverent, honor, and homage. So when you come here, we're supposed to be reverently honoring and paying homage to God. Nothing else, to God. And praise. We come to praise God, right? We come to church for that. Definition. Offer grateful homage in word and song. So, we got two words here. Reverent and grateful. I am not reverent. I am probably more irreverent than all of you put together. I got a problem, that's all there is to it. It's a personality flaw, and I accept it. You guys just chastise me, treat me whatever it takes to get me back on track. That's absolutely fine. But the praise, grateful. Do we come here and gratefully sing hymns? Do we honor God with our songs, with our voices? Joe isn't here. Joe Moravec doesn't sing out loud. God doesn't care if you're carrying the tune or not. Praise him with your voices. Lift it up loud. Shout it out there. The neighbors should hear us every morning. There should be gratefulness, grateful reverence. We should just sing because of the joy of the Lord that's inside of us. So that brings us back to Isaiah 29:13. These people come near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is made up only of rules taught by men. Do we forget the commandments of God when we come here? Do we want to follow our traditions? Do we want to follow our rules? Or do we want to follow Christ? What were the commandments that Jesus gave? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second one was love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the commandments. Those aren't suggestions. Those are the commandments that Jesus gives each one of us. And that would make our worship more edifying to each other, but more glorifying to God. So help us, help each other. We need to do that. Next thing, next group he starts talking to. He's got three groups. He's got the Pharisees, got the crowd, got the disciples. Next group he's talking to is the crowd. And the crowd, he says, listen, understand, what goes into a man's mouth doesn't defile him. It's what comes out of his heart. And what does he mean by that? I mean, the Pharisees are, and these people knew this too. They knew you had to wash your hands. Everybody followed the rules because they were taught this as little kids. What does he mean, it doesn't defile what you put in your mouth? In Mark, it says that Jesus was saying that with this passage, he said that all food is now kosher. You can eat whatever you want, whereas before the laws strictly forbade certain foods. Whether that's the case or not, I don't think so. I think Jesus was saying that you've got this all wrong. You are upside down in your thinking. We tend to want to have our own authority and our own knowledge be the be-all and end-all. Our wisdom and our intellect. We're going to decide how this is all going to work out, because after all, we pretty much got this. But sometimes our knowledge makes us a little brain dead, because we think we've got the answers and we don't hear anything else. And when we don't hear anything else, I think we miss so much of what's in this Bible, what's in the Word of God. As Tim said, knowledge is power. The Quran is a book of knowledge, but the Bible is a book of salvation.
Amen.
It's not just knowledge, but you have to have knowledge in order to understand what this is. So we all need to study this, to get into it, let it penetrate every part of our being. We don't want to absorb it. We want to be enveloped by it. If we absorb it, it's like eating food that passes through. If we get enveloped by it, it becomes a part of us. And that's part of what we need to be. Jesus is saying, leave them alone. The blind are leading the blind. They're all going to fall into a pit. Let them go. The reason he's saying this is they're so focused. They're blinded by their knowledge. They're focused on their knowledge of the law. Jewish law has 613 laws to follow to be a good Jewish individual. And I looked this up. Mishnah means law. So Mishnah Yadayim, that is the law of the hands. There are four chapters in the Mishnah dedicated to laws of the hands. 22 verses, 22 laws, not verses, laws, that tell you how you gotta wash your hands. Now really, you put them under the water, you get some soap, you do a little of this, you're done. You might even dry them off, you might not. 22 laws, it was 7 pages, tiny print, tiny font, on scrolling down through the computer. Mishnah Yadayim, have a ball with it. Rock and roll, follow the rules. I am not a rule follower. This would not work for me at all. I can't do it. It just blew me away. It's like, well, you're not following the rule. Well, which one? You got 22 of them. Which one you want me to follow? I'm eating bread. I'm hungry. The heck with it. So again, we need to be focused on Christ and not on the traditions, not on the things. And that leads us back to Isaiah 29:14. Therefore, once more, I will astound these people with wonder upon wonder. The wisdom of the wise will perish. The intelligence of the intelligent will vanish. We think we got it figured out, folks. You know, I stand up here thinking, okay, I spent a couple weeks on preparing a sermon. I got this one down. I got no clue. Okay, so you guys, you're going to need to go home and study this, because I'm going to mess you up probably more than you were before you came in. But we are responsible for knowing what's going on in God's Word. And again, we can't just study it. We can't just eat it and let it pass through. We have to be enveloped by it and have it just be a part of who we are. Each one of us, unfortunately, is a leader. Much as you don't want to be, because you're all Presbyterian. Now, Jeff, you were Lutheran. You got a little leeway on this. But being a Presbyterian, we're happy to be quiet. we're happy to be just here. Not all of us, and I get that. I'm generalizing, I know that, but you are a leader. Once called by Christ, you are a disciple of Christ. And that's the last group that he brings to. A little bit of admonition. Because Peter says, explain the parable to us. And I absolutely love Jesus' response. Are you still so dull? Absolutely love it. And I have to confess, I was a biology teaching assistant in college. That's how I paid for part of my schooling, my sophomore through senior year. I taught biology lab. I explained one of the labs to the class and asked if there were any questions. One guy did raise his hand, had a question. He asked the question. I looked at him. I said, are you deaf or are you a moron? You did not hear what I said. And afterwards, I felt so bad. So I did go and apologize to the guy. But I got biblical backup. Are you still so dull? And so, anyway, that's a diversion. But again, do we come to church and do we hear the words that are spoken? What's read at the pulpit? What's spoken by Stephen or whoever's up here? Do we hear what's spoken by the people that are asking for prayer? Do we hear the requests? The needs? Do we understand what people are hurting with? Or do we just let it slide over us? Do we take it like food into our bodies and eliminate it? Or do we take it to heart and make it part of our lives too? The Pharisees were focused on the law. So were the disciples, because they were a little confused on this. They were raised good Jewish boys. You know, they had their bar mitzvah at 13, they got the car, they got all the money and the booze. So they were all happy Jewish boys. But here they're adults, and now Jesus is turning things around. One of the things that drew me to Christianity in my 20s was the rebelliousness of Jesus Christ. Anybody else get pulled in by that? Do you love that he just was a rebel? Absolutely loved it. He was breaking all the rules. You could do anything you wanted, it seemed. It's like Jesus is busting things down. Breaking tradition, this is great. But when you start understanding what Christ came for, he came to fulfill the law, not abolish it. And how did he do that? I mean, these guys were confused by the law. They didn't wash their hands, they got chastised. We should have done that. And Jesus says, you don't need to do that. Follow the commandments of my Father. Those are the laws you need to watch. As he said it in Isaiah, these are just teachings of man. You've taken the commandments and you've ignored them completely and turned us into the teachings of man. Why do we have the law anyway? Jesus did not abolish it. We have the law. And the law is still valid. We have the law. The law was put in place to show us our need for salvation. Because there isn't anybody I know that can follow each one of those laws. The rich young man came to Jesus and said, How can I assure myself a place in heaven? Follow all the commandments. Oh yeah, I've done this all my life. Then lay down your life for others and follow me. Couldn't do it. So we need a Savior. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law because he shows us, the law shows us our sin. The law then leads us to Christ. So that's how we end up getting the law fulfilled. What happens so many times in religion is that we turn it upside down. What we do is we start taking charge and forget our place in God's kingdom. We're not sovereign. We're not in charge. We don't do it without Jesus Christ or the Holy Spirit. We have to listen to the Spirit leading, and we have to remember that all things, the essentials of faith that we have as an EPC denomination, have to be memorized, folks. I didn't do it. I wish I had. Then I could show you my intellect and my wisdom. But I don't have that. Isaiah, again, brings us back to Isaiah 29:16. You turn things upside down as if the potter were thought to be like the clay. Shall what is formed say to him who formed it? He did not make me. Can the pot say to the potter, he knows nothing? How dare we come to church or do anything saying that I've got this, when Christ is the only one that's got this. Each one of us is responsible for laying our lives down for others, because if we are going to follow Jesus Christ, as we say we do, by taking the title Christian, we are responsible for laying our lives down for each one of the people here and everybody outside. And that includes the Muslim world. That includes the Hindu world. These are people made by God in His image. They may be confused, but they have been made by God. And we cannot discount them as individuals. We cannot discount them as the created being. We're no better than they are. Each one of us is sinful. Each one of us needs salvation. So, again, back to Christ's comment. It is not what you put in your mouth that makes you unclean. Because what comes out of the mouth comes out of the heart. So what's in your heart? That's where you got to go. The things that come out of an unsaved individual, I shouldn't even say that. I consider myself a saved Christian. The stuff still comes out of my mouth. Which is evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. That's what comes out of our hearts, folks. Until our hearts have been changed by Jesus Christ, this is what we're going to be. This is what we're going to say. This is what we're going to do. We're even going to do it after we've been saved, because we're in a process of salvation. We are not just saved. We are being processed by Jesus Christ, changed, made new in His image. So just a couple little thoughts to leave you with. Pharisees, crowds, disciples, where do you fall? We've got leaders in this church. Pray for them. Pray that they do continue to follow the Word of God. Make that first and foremost as session gathers monthly as they meet. The leaders of committees, pray for them that they would follow God's leading. Then we got the crowd. That's us. We're the crowd. What did Jesus say to the crowd? Listen and understand. Hear me. Hear my words and understand. Take time every day to read Scripture and understand it. Don't let stuff get in your way, whether it's traditional stuff or daily stuff, whatever it is. Get it out of the way. Take time out, morning or night, doesn't matter when. Third group, disciples. Who are the disciples? Each one of us. We're the crowd, we're also the disciples. Don't let Jesus say, "Are you still so dull?" Involve yourself in a Bible study, whatever it takes. Have a mentor, one-on-one. Get together with people that you think can help you understand, whatever it takes. No one's got it all right, but we can help each other understand one more. So traditions are nice. Traditions can become sinful. Don't let them get in the way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, there are so many things that we just don't get. And yet we think we've got it all covered sometimes. Lord, humble us, because You are so sovereign, we have no right to say, "I've got this." You are so almighty. You are so perfect. And we are so filthy, Lord. Help us to recognize our position without a Savior. But again, help us to recognize with that Savior we can approach You, to be made new. So, Lord, make us new today, and make us new each day. And help us to come before You reverently, but excitedly and gratefully. In Jesus' name, amen.